Another year has come and gone. Are you wondering what the future holds? Are you struggling with the decision about love, money, your career, your family? StarPsychics.com, that stars with a Z, has the answers you desire. StarPsychics.com is the best and brightest advisor site on the internet, staffed by top-rated, professional, fully tested, and certified advisors. This is the real deal. At StarPsychics.com, you create your own personal account, and you pick your advisor by reading their extensive bios. Then you decide on a budget that you are comfortable with. Your pathway to a clearer and brighter future is just a few clicks away. No gimmicks, no bait and switch. StarPsychics.com has daily blogs and lots of links to help you develop your own intuition. Log on now. That's StarPsychics.com. Remember, stars with a Z. And here's the best part. They're available 24/7. StarPsychics.com. Remember, stars with a Z. You must be 18 years or older. Your future awaits.
Oh, thank you, Kim, for that beautiful commercial that she did for me when I was on a radio show once a week. Believe it or not, yours truly was on a radio show, yes. But I think this is my forte. This is what I really love to do, is bring people on my radio show and have all these great conversations. But before I bring my guest in, I want to tell everybody mysticlivingtoday.com is up, a really nice issue, a lot of different kind of things in there. Sometimes, you know, I put stuff in there and I think, oh, this is going to be controversial. But then again, I look at it a second time or read it a second time, because when I put it in, I read everything. I think, oh, this is going to get people thinking. And I like to know that I'm a part of that. I want you to think. I don't want you to just, oh, yeah. No, I don't want you to do that. I want you to think. And the other thing that's going on will be starting probably this Friday. I'm hoping to launch it then or Saturday will be our StarPsychics.com Valentine's special. I call it Sweets for the Sweets. It's a very good deal. It's 10 minutes for $10 for everybody, not just for some clients and all that kind of stuff. But you'll see when you log on to the site, and that's stars with a Z, psychics.com. I think my Tony, my webmaster, I call him my Tony, because once you're in my circle, just like my guests, you're mine. You're mine for the duration. So my Tony is going to do a marquee and a lot of good stuff. We're going to talk about it later this afternoon. But I'm excited about it because I figured, you know, it's time that everybody gets something. It's not for nothing, but of good value. And I know it's rough for everybody out there. I've heard from so many clients, you know, Natalie, we want to come on your site, but, you know, it's too expensive and la, la, la. So this should be good. Plus, you can buy as many blocks of 10 minutes that you want, and the minutes never expire. That's another good thing. It will, you know, the special will be over the last day in February, which will be the 28th. So at midnight, poof, gone. So, but the beauty of it is that you can purchase lots of blocks of time, and we now have the ability to pay later via PayPal. I've been 20 years with them in December. I did not know that. They told me, they said, you have a little thing on your file. You've been with us so long. And the tech actually went in, because we were having some issues, to make sure that it was running good. I mean, I just think that's top drawer. I didn't pay them for it. It's just because, you know, I guess it's because I've been with them and I have all kinds of stars on my file. Can you imagine that? I mean, they laugh at me and, God, you're special. I'm in the top, I don't know, third, I guess, with them. I don't know that that's that good, but nonetheless, okay, it's on with the show. This guest that I have, I read his book, and his book is going to apply to each and every one of you. We were laughing before the show began because I said, well, at least I know I'm not the only one that's cuckoo. but I want to bring my guest on today with me, Art Deelhan, and he wrote the book called Get Out of Your Head. It's a mess in there. Welcome, Art. How are you?
I'm well. Thanks, Natalie. How are you?
Oh, excellent, excellent. I talk pretty fast sometimes, and I don't know why I do that, because I have a lot of time. I have 90 minutes set aside for for things that might happen and all of that, because at the 90-minute mark, they cut you off. Oop, you're done. Goodbye. Yeah, I mean, that's it. Over. So I have my gal set it up for 90 minutes instead of just 60. Sometimes we do 60. Sometimes we go 65 minutes, whatever. But anyways, welcome to my show. You are my number 274th show. I started these back in 2012 on Valentine's Day, if you want to believe that.
Wow.
And I was dragged into it. Everybody said, oh, you need to do this. You've got a nice voice. You can talk to people, blah, blah, blah. You know, they all encourage you. And then they all left because I'm doing it by myself. I used to have a co-host, and she passed away. We would do topics. And then somebody said, why don't you bring people on and talk to them? And this is not really an interview. This is a talk. So Art and I are going to talk. And we'll probably talk your ear off because we have talked each other's ear off already before the show. But anyways, I'm so happy to have you. Art, you've had a very varied career. You started off in television as a director. Now, I want you to even go back before that. How did you get into all of this land of entertainment, so to speak, in the beginning now? Right now, I'm not going to say it's entertainment, but you were in entertainment. How did you get into it?
Well, I wasn't any good in school, and I wasn't any good at sports, so I ended up on the
okay,
stage.
Oh, okay, so this was a desperate solution.
Yes, you know, I had to find something to do, you know, and so I ended up on the stage, you know, doing plays very early on in middle school, and went to college and majored in theater and thought I was going to be an actor, and then realized there was not much future in that for me. So I switched into mass communications, and then I got a job at the public TV station in Madison where I went to school. And that was just the beginning of it. And then when I got out of the service, I worked in Denver for the public TV station there. Then to San Francisco to WQED, the public station there. And then I made it the jump to L.A. and ended up working for Norman Lear's company for 7 years and as an associate director, and then directed sitcoms, everything with a kid and a dog, between 1985 and 2002, directed hundreds of episodes of shows. And It was a great career.
Tell me
I was very
something.
Fortunate.
Is there a lot of
yeah.
satisfaction? I mean, a director directs, right? So
yes.
I mean, you have a producer who produces. I mean, I understand that. But what does a director do, really? Do you get everything in motion? You get all these people in a room and say, okay, this is your job. This is what you do. This is what you do. I mean, what does a director do?
A director takes the script, which is handed to him in the middle of the night by a courier, dropping it at his front door.
Really?
And,
really? Okay.
Yeah, yeah. And the director wakes up at 4 a.m. and reads the script and figures out what the script's about and what the hook is in the script. What's it really about? And and then how do I stage it? And you start thinking about ways to stage scenes. And basically, a director puts the show on its feet, works with the actors to execute their roles in the play. It's really a play. And then I was also responsible for shooting the episode and making sure that we had the proper coverage and that it could be edited into something, some facsimile of a TV show. So,
something that people would want to see.
Right? Yeah, something that people would want to see, right, something that
because
held
you
together.
Because you take the written word, but the written word is one thing, but to have it, like say a TV show, we'll use that. I mean, you can use it for a movie,
yes.
too, but a TV show probably, because there's so many episodes, it's like a change all the time. It's always every week or whatever it is, it changes, right? You're going to be adding, subtracting some of the same people, maybe not, adding more people, bringing them off. I mean, that's got to be a tough job.
It was. It's a very stressful job because I'd be prepping, I'd be doing this week's show, prepping next week's show, and editing last week's show.
Oh, my God.
So, I know. It was exhausting work. I think I worked, you know, 12, 14, 16-hour days, barely slept. But it was exciting and fun. And my first show as a director was Punky Brewster. So I was working with 4 8-year-olds, a dog, and George Gaines, who was an elderly man. And it was very challenging, but very rewarding as well.
Oh, I can imagine. And I think when you finally see it happen, did you watch them, like the first episode or something? Did you actually watch it?
Not necessarily, because
okay.
I'd already seen it in the editing room.
Okay.
So it sort of depended.
Okay, that's enough. On to the next.
Yes,
done with that.
Right. I'm done with that. It's like, well, that one's in the can, and it's time to move on. And I didn't have much time off. So Sunday night when Punky was on, I think I was watching football or something else, or probably trying to get sleep because I knew that the next script was going to hit my door at 4 a.m.
Yeah, and you better be better be able to run with it and do what you do. But was it scary, the first one that you did? I mean,
petrifying.
I can't even
petrifying.
Imagine. I mean, if somebody handed me something and said, okay, we need to make this as a first episode in a TV series. Oh.
Right.
And you don't
right.
give that to me because I would call Art.
Well,
Art,
you
can
know,
help me? I don't know how to do this.
Yeah. Well, I trained for it my whole life. You know, I was a TV addict as a kid, so I understood how TV worked. And for some reason, I just got it. It was like I was very dyslexic. I am dyslexic. So reading has always been hard for me. But sequential images and sort of how they fit together was a real strength. So being able to take a script and stage it, then in my head, I was able to block it camera-wise. In other words, figure out where all the, 200 sequential images, I could see that in my head ahead of time as I was blocking the actors. Right, which is very important to be able to see that when you're blocking. Otherwise, you block yourself into a corner all the time by putting actors in the wrong, having them in the wrong place or not being able to cover them. And then I worked in 4-camera video and film, so there was a lot going on at one time. It was pretty crazy, but it was challenging and fun.
And before we start with your book, I want to ask you, were you ever sorry that you stopped doing that kind of thing?
No.
You answered that pretty fast.
Yeah, well, what do they say
smart
about
man.
No?
I've had enough of that. Thank
sentence.
You. Goodbye. I'm closing the door.
Yeah, right. Right. No, I was, by the end of my TV career, I was pretty burned out. I hadn't slept for, 30 years.
Yeah,
and,
normally, like a normal person. Yeah.
Like a normal person. And my hours had been egregious. And my wife and I were trying to conceive, and both of our schedules were so frantic, we just decided to back off. And reality TV, hit the airwaves, and that pretty much killed my business in a period of about 6 months in around 2000.
But could you have gone on to films?
No, not really. Some people make that jump, but it's very different shooting film on location with 1 camera or 2 cameras and shooting in a studio with 4 cameras simultaneously. It's a very different skill set. And honestly, I found when I went on location that it was very hard to sort of switch my thinking from what I was used to.
Did you ever do anything with film, movies at all after your TV?
No.
No?
I did in TV. When I was in public television, I shot a lot of documentaries, which were 1 camera.
That got you a lot of experience, I'm thinking, right?
Oh, yeah. I was in public TV for 10 years, and I think I did over 1,000 half hours of programming. So when I got to L.A., I had a lot of experience. There's nothing like working on a local level first and getting hours and
your
hours and hours.
Yep.
Yep, exactly. Exactly. Because when I got to LA.
Because you can't
LA,
go in as a total novice. It has to come from someplace. And obviously, you, when you were in public TV, you didn't know it, but you were being groomed to go on
yes.
to do your work on television, what you did. And it's a smart man who knows when to stop doing something. I was just mentioning, look at Clint Eastwood. What is he, in his 90s? But
yeah.
But you know what? Somebody like him thrives on what he does. And when he stops, that's probably when he's going to die. Because a busy mind is a healthy mind. Once you stop using all your abilities, like you kept going. But
mm-hmm.
That's my theory. Once you stop, your mind, get out of your head. It's a mess in there. It's going to go nuts. Because,
yes.
I threw that in, because yes. you're going to be going here and there and over there and over there. And that's really difficult. But now I want to get into your book that we've already laughed about, because I told you, I could open the book and say, yep, that's me. Yep, that's me. I mean, and I'm not cuckoo, but now, all of these things in here, you know, that you wrote about, first of all, you did this during COVID. Were you just
yes.
looking to do something? Like, God, I'm bored. I got to do something here. Or how did that happen? How did the book begin?
Well, I've been threatening to write this book for 10 years. and I would tell people, oh, my book, you know, and here's the title. And they go, oh, that's a great title. When's the book coming out? And I go,
well, I don't know. Yeah, it's like my fairy tale.
Oh, I don't know. You're right. Exactly. And then I thought, wow, if I don't write this book, I'm going to let a lot of people down. No, I didn't. And I thought the pandemic hit, and then it was like, wow, I'm going to be stuck in my apartment for the next year, year and a half, and I'm going to go stark raving insane if I don't find a project. And then I thought, well, why don't you just write the book you've been threatening to write for the last 10 years? And then I thought, well, great, but I have no idea how to put this book together or what I want the book to be. I've been collecting these aphorisms, or people say, what are aphorisms? And aphorisms,
and you need to explain that to the audience. What is an aphorism before we go any further?
It's a slogan. It's a slogan.
And that's what's in your book, too. I mean, I laughed so much in this because I said, oh, my God, no wonder I'm always going helter-skelter sometimes. Like, so I have to slow my mind down. This is no joke. I have a gal who's known me for quite a few years. I have somebody that markets. A designer in Africa. She does my videos and stuff. But this other lady, she said, I can't keep up with you. But my webmaster will say the same thing. He said,
right.
I'm like in one county, and you're like a state over already. You're gone, gone, you know. And I'll say, what are you talking about? He said, listen to yourself. Oh, yeah, I've already thought about that. I've already done that, and that's true art. And sometimes it's scary, but, you know, and I hate to say this, I didn't graduate from high school. I wanted to be in medicine. But when I was growing up at that time, that wasn't the thing that girls did. Girls got married, had
right.
kids, and that was
right.
your life. And that's okay. And I have a beautiful son. I have a beautiful granddaughter who's in the art world. She goes to SCAD. You've heard of SCAD, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, she's on the dean's list. We'll talk about that. But anyways, I've been of service to people all my life, nursing home, tennis clubs, big ones, did all the stuff there. But I thrived at it. I was so good at it, and it was so easy for me that I didn't stop to think, well, what does Natalie really want to do? I was kind of thrown into all these things. But
right.
your book hits the nail on the head, because I look back at my life and thinking, were you really thinking all these things at one time? I think I was.
Right.
I don't even
right.
– I now I can look back and think about it. Oh, my God. How did you keep your feet on the ground? I don't know.
Right.
I really
right.
don't know.
Well, I mean – The study that I cited in the book, and it's the only study I cited, by the way. This is a fun book, not a technical book.
Yeah, not this deep kind of thing that you have to.
No. This book, there are 101 cartoons in this book.
No,
for
it's a lot
aphorism.
Of fun. I'm telling everybody. It is. Oh, yeah, and the man who did that for you is awesome. Your
yeah,
friend there. What's his name? Clemmy? I love that
name,
too.
Her name.
Oh, Clemmy, you're wonderful. yes.
Clemmy LeBusque. Isn't she great? She's Australian, and she lives here in Los Angeles, and we've been friends for a long time, and coffee with her one day when I was thinking about writing the book, and I said, hey, Glennie, I'm thinking about writing this book, but I don't think I'm going to write it unless you do the cartoons, because I want it to be fun and funny.
Right, yeah.
And she said, okay, I'll do them. When do we start? And I said, well, wait a second. There are going to be 101 of them. And she said, 101? Are you kidding? That's going to take me forever. And I said, well, you know, this pandemic's going to take forever. So why don't we just – and she finally said, sure, okay, I'll do it. And that's how the book got started, is I had been collecting all these aphorisms over the years. And
yes.
Aphorisms, again, are – let me read this. I'll just read. An aphorism is a pithy observation that contains a general truth, wisdom, or advice. It may be attributed to a specific person or be a proverb or maxim that has come down through the ages because of its strength in conveying ideas that have stood the test of time. So, stood the test of time is an aphorism.
Okay.
So,
I opened the book and I got one here. What you think about expands, from Wayne Dyer.
Right.
Now think about
right.
that. What you think about expands. Okay. And that's just like you can think if you I do this all the time. I do this all the time, people. I'll keep thinking over and over. Okay, I have my little notebook. I'll write notes. Most of the time I don't because I have such a great memory. No, I don't think I want to do that. No, how's this going to look? Nah. But you really do, and what happens is when you expand it, that's all you think about.
Right, right.
It's not going to stop.
And if it's a good thing you're thinking about, that's great.
Yes.
But if it's not
yes.
a good thing you're thinking about.
Yes, you're going to dig yourself a hole and you're going to fall in it.
Exactly.
You will.
You know, your
you will.
Inner saboteur, your inner
yeah.
negative voice will just
yeah.
take you, you know, you'll be circling the drain in no time.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, but all of this is, this is amazing. I mean, I keep turning a page just by random here.
Yeah.
And you have here, what others think of me is none of my business. Now, that's
oh, boy,
great,
that's...
by Eleanor Roosevelt. Oh, we're
yeah.
always thinking, well, what do they think of me? You know, like, I'll do this because I'm older, and I guess men look at me. I have no idea. It doesn't really matter to me. But, you know, mm-hmm. you'll notice even nobody says to me, gee, Natalie, you look really pretty. Nobody.
Mm.
Okay. So, and I might think I look knocked down, drag out, gorgeous that day. Maybe. Maybe not. I don't have that kind of an ego that I walk around with my head up in the air and the plumes coming out like, oh, here I am, everybody. No, I don't do that.
Right.
But you do ponder, like somebody will say, gee, to my friend, gee, you look really nice today. And I'll sit there and I'll think, well, what do they think of me? But it's really
yeah.
none of my business. You're right.
No,
if you
no
allow
it's none of my
that,
business.
Yes, if you allow that, if you hold on to that, it's not healthy for you because it's another
right.
one of these things like, oh, that well's getting deeper. I'm going to fall in even further now. You have to,
yes.
you know, you have to, but it's hard to let go of that stuff because your mind is always like, oh, I must not look good. I'm using that as an example. I must not look
sure.
good. There must be something wrong with me. What's wrong with me? And you start overthinking. Instead
yep.
of just being.
Yep.
Why do people do
one
that?
One of the things, one of the, why do people do that? I don't
yeah.
know. I have no idea. You
That'll
know,
be your next book. You can ponder that one.
Right. It's
the whys and the wherefores.
Listen, Natalie, the most powerful power tool we have, you know, is not the skill saw in the basement. It's our brain. And
mm-hmm.
if we leave it on and leave it unattended and leave it, let it just run its course without us having some sort of self-management, then we're asking for trouble because the brain and our thinking will invariably go to places that we don't necessarily want to go. And I think there are people, I think everybody has a negative inner dialogue. To one degree or another. I mean, I have a friend named John Johns who says, oh, that's just bad thinking. you know, he gets it right away and he doesn't go there. He's an eternal optimist and he just never thinks negatively. He drives me crazy sometimes because I have a negative inner voice that abused me constantly all my life.
Or argues with and what you're kind of argue a little. It's a little person that argues and said, "No, you don't want to do that. Nah, that's not going to be good."
No,
or,
you
yeah,
do that.
You need
you're
to
not
do that,
smart
yeah.
enough.
Yeah,
you're
right.
Not smart
you're,
enough
you're,
or
yeah,
you're too
not,
fat
you don't have the
or
skills.
You're too. No,
exactly.
You're never going to make it. Don't worry about that. Stay on the couch. You know, you're having a bad hair day, and you might as well just stay under the covers. You know, it's not a fun voice, and it affects many of us in very, very severe ways. And the whole point of my book is to raise that issue and say, you know, the best way to deal with that voice is not listen to it. It's get out of your head because it's a mess in there, and only turn your brain on when you're actually using it. Otherwise, turn it off. And that's easier said than done. But
well, yeah, I was just
going to
say, how
do
you really turn it off? I mean, if you've got a project that consumes you, like, I mean, my site is a nice site. It's a decent-sized site. I mean, it's not the biggest in the world, but it actually consumes me. I mean, I'll go to my son. I'll go to my granddaughter who's at SCAD to see what she thinks. I'll go to my goddaughter. I'll go to my friend, my girlfriend. I mean, instead of just, okay, it's here. Shut up. Stop thinking. Just let it evolve. Let it do what it's going to do. Now I've noticed myself, which you would be very proud of, I don't beat myself over the head and say, well, God, it's got to get done today. No, it doesn't have to. It'll get done when it's supposed to get done. Because
right. Do
if
today's
you,
work today. Go ahead.
That's right.
Sorry.
And if you believe that there's a sequence in things in your life and in events, you know that, okay, what if it goes a day early and it's wrong? You want it to, like this ad, you want it to run when it's ready. And my gal, my Candy, I told you she's my Candy, my art, my Candy, my everybody. She is in the chat room and she's probably nodding her head. Yes, that's what you have to do. Sometimes, though, it's easier said than done. You want it done now. You think it's going to make that big of a difference, but if you would just let all the laws that are, I call them laws that are, just,
yes.
Okay, be calm, you know. Like it used to be, if my webmaster didn't get something done, I would get upset. But then I stopped doing that. I don't even know why, because I thought, I probably talked to myself, you know, Natalie, it's not going to make it happen faster. And you know that. You've known him for 16 years now. He's been working with you. So I think I got it, you know, and he also knows with me, and that's another thing, the people that you work with have to really know about you. You know, I have to know about
yes.
you. I have to know, we'll use Candy as an example. I have to know about her. She has to know about me. So the timing is always perfect. And if you think of it that way, wow. Relax.
Exactly.
Sit back. Go have a Snickers bar or an ice cream or something, you know.
Well, do today's work today and tomorrow's work tomorrow, and let nature
and
take its course.
And don't try
to
control people to make them get it done faster. Get it out of your head. Get it, move it out. Time for do something different.
Right.
Yeah, it's easier
and,
said
and
than
you
done.
Ask the question, how do you do it? How do you self-manage your thinking?
Yeah.
And I think it's about awareness. It's being able to sit. Step back and be aware that some of you, I'll speak personally. I step back and realize that some of my thinking is exaggerated, out of control, not helpful, even mean-spirited. Some of it's self-deprecating to a fault, and to be able to notice when that voice is speaking in my head. And then to step back and ground myself in myself and say, wait a second, is this thinking real? Is it my common sense? Or is it just, you know, BS that's floating around like a virus?
Right, my overactive imagination in first gear.
Exactly. And then if I can notice it, and ground myself in myself, then I can decide whether I want to pursue that thinking or argue with it or be depressed by it, or whether, you know, I'm going to stick it in the corner in a dunce cap and tell it to look at the wall and move on with my life. And it's sort of like gremlin taming. Rick Carson wrote a book called Gremlin Taming, and it's a great book, and it's all about how to manage that thinking. And my book is really sort of a biography. It's not a biography, but it sort of tells the story of how I've learned to manage my own thinking by speaking about these aphorisms. Like, I just opened the book and I just read one. There's a gentleman helping an old lady across the street, and the aphorism is, helpfulness is the friendly face of control. And the first paragraph says, helping an old lady across the street is deemed a nice gesture. If she didn't ask for help, it's called kidnapping.
Yeah, I read that before. So does that mean don't offer help? Wait for them to ask?
Always wait for the question. If we are helping other people without their specific request, then we're assuming that they need us, and that somehow we're better than they are, or somehow we can offer something that they don't
have. Because, you know, I don't go in grocery stores now. I get Instacart. But when I was in the stores, I would find myself, people will reach for something, and I say, can I help you? Instead of them saying, all of this, your whole book. And I would, and she, you know, she would say, of course. And then, I mean, I did that because that's that self-care. I care so much, probably overboard. So I should have not asked if I could have reached that for her, right? I should have just waited. Okay, let me see if you fall on your face as you're standing up on the shelf.
Well, you know, it's...
So you're going to finally say, will you help me, lady?
Well,
I mean, how do you determine that? How do you...
Let's do an example. You have a kid, a child, and the child is struggling with tying his shoes.
Okay.
Are you going to tie his shoes for the rest of his life, or are you going to let him learn how? Maybe you'd even teach him how. Which do you think would be the most empowering for that child?
Well, you need to teach him, of course. You can't do it for him. Don't do it for him. You'll never know how. He'll never know how to.
Right.
Never
so
know
that
how to
lady
do it.
In the grocery, that great lady in the grocery store, you know, if she's trying to do something, and if she can't do it herself, then she'll ask for help. But there's another aphorism in the book. There are two kinds of business: my business and none of my business.
True.
I used to think everything was my business. Right.
Yeah, I think we get into that. We look, I always call it the whys and the wherefores. We want to know, why are they doing that? I got to find out. It's the curiosity that killed the cat.
Right.
But that was a good thing about what you said about that lady. Now, she was, I think eventually she would have asked for help, but I just rushed to her because that's what I do. And I did it a few times, and finally, it wasn't the same lady, but somebody else. She went over, she walked over to her husband, who was busy getting something off of his phone, probably a shopping list, and she said to him, I think that lady's an angel. I heard her.
Right.
And
right.
He just kept looking in his phone, probably thinking, well, I didn't care if you stepped two shelves up and fell on your butt. Who cares? Because, you know, and she was like overweight, wobbly, an older lady. And I stood there, but you make a lot of sense. I mean, how far would he have let her go? And she was not alone until she fell and hit her head and knocked herself out. Or was she going to wait until somebody offered to help?
That's your assumption that she's going to fall on her head.
That's true. I was worried because I want to help the world. I want to take care of the world. I mean, I like to, you know, I'm always like there to catch you. And I know that's that's probably not a good thing. You're going to tell me, no, don't do that.
Not going to say that. No, come on. It's this is selective. I mean, there are people who I was a busybody. I was in everybody's business. I wanted to control everything. And so, you know, I would often get involved in stuff that there was no reason for me to be involved in. And I'm much happier now that I'm not trying to control the whole world.
And you know,
really
when you get into somebody's
control.
Stuff like that, Art, you yep. take it on as yours.
Yep.
And you're trying to solve it. When you should just say, you know, well, me, I would say, do you need any help? And they would say, oh, no, thank you. Okay. And walk away. You know, don't keep gnawing at it.
Right. Right. Because that's their business, not your business. And to offer help is beautiful, I think. But to assume that they're incapable, but you are capable, is a whole different thing.
Yeah. Yeah, there's another
it's
one here. Leave your past behind or be dragged by it. Oh, isn't that a true one? And it's a man looking back at his suitcase. Now, you want to drag right. this heavy suitcase with all this garbage in it?
Baggage.
Which is your past, you know,
right.
leave it. Leave it.
Leave it.
Walk
leave
away.
It.
Oh, it's so good.
I don't know about you, but I have regrets in my past. I have trauma in my past.
I have lots of trauma. You don't even want to go there with me, yeah.
No, right. I mean,
I don't have any regrets. There's a big trauma, Art, but I don't have any regrets about it because I stand tall with it. I did it. Yeah. And nobody can take that away from me. And I talked with my goddaughter last night for 2 hours, and she was so, I mean, she was near sobbing. She said, I didn't know you had to do all this. I said, I didn't tell anybody. Why? I knew I could do it, and I did it. She said, do you know what right. power that is, how powerful you are? I had her laugh, and I said, more powerful than a locomotive? I don't know. You know, and it's true. But if I think about it, I mean, I have to think about it because I let it go. Okay, I did it. Goodbye. That's it. I'm done. On to the next yeah. thing. But I always want to
right.
take care of, and that's not a good thing to have all the time. Okay? Life is on life's terms. What does that mean?
Right. Life on life's terms is not trying to control everything, not trying to control everybody in my family, not trying to control you, not trying to control life itself. I mean, I felt so insecure as a child that I imagined, you know, that I could manipulate and control the whole world so that I would feel safe. I would, you know, imagine what you were thinking. I would try to react to what I thought you were thinking about me or whatever was going on.
Mm-hmm.
And life on life's terms is letting life flow, letting it, you know, come as it comes, and not trying to manipulate and control all of it to fit my idea of what it should be. And that's exhausting. That is totally, that kind of effect of control,
right.
living in that kind of control is the most exhausting thing I ever experienced in my life. And when I finally let go and said, well, I have nothing to defend. I have nothing to prove. I have nothing to apologize for. It set me free. And then I could just let life go on its very, you know, go on its merry
way. Yeah.
And it didn't need me to control it. I mean, life's perfectly capable of taking care of itself. And for me to think that I can control it was like I was being God in some way. And it was exhausting.
Yeah. You know, it's really, sometimes it's really tough to let go, but it takes work. It's not like just saying the words, okay, I'm going to let that go, and you let it go.
No.
It's not that simple. It's almost like you need an affirmation every single day.
Yes.
Like, or
yes.
I found, I mean, because I was really upset like 2 weeks ago, a week ago, because of my site not making any money, not for me, but for all the people that log on to my site. you know, bothered me so much. I mean, it just really did. And I talked to my son about it, and he said, you know, Mom, you really can't control the world. You can't. All you can do is be there. You can survive. Now you've got money to pay the site bills and all that. I said, yes, but it's bothering me. He said, okay, well, you have to let it go because maybe it's got this big ball in front of it all now. Wow, she's worrying about it. Let her worry about it. Then we're going to stop it. It's so what I did, I talked to God every day. And I have some questions I'll have for you after. But I talked to God every day, and I just yelled. I said, will you just help me? Will you just show me what to do? Open the doors. The next morning,
right,
I got up drinking my coffee, and my cat's with me, and I'm watching the squirrel because I feed the squirrels and the deers and I feed everything. But anyways, I was thinking about all my joys, the things that make me happy, make me smile, and it came to me, well, okay, you've been doing this for first-time clients, and that's not really flying. Why don't you just do it for everybody? Give everybody a nice break. And that's where my 10 for 10 came for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Buy as much as you want. Put it in your bank. Put it in the account. It sits there. It never expires. And all of a sudden, as soon as I got that in my head, I felt
right.
I felt relieved because then I had a mission. Then I went on a mission. Okay. All right. Well, how are we going to do this? You start writing things down. Sometimes I do. I don't always do because I have a great memory, like I said. So I just put it there, and then I go do something else. I go, okay, I got to talk to somebody about this. We got to figure this out. So my first one was the gal who does the videos for me. She's in Nairobi. I told her my idea, and she wrote me back, yes, I'm on it. Next day, I get all of her samples. And you know what really helps me, maybe it did you, was the enthusiasm of others. Because then it's not your burden. You take it on as a burden, like, I can't control who spends and who doesn't spend. And if you go to that store or that store, I can't control that. So once you let it go, and basically that's what I did, and I have the mindset now, it'll do what it's going to do. That's it. It's going to fly.
Exactly.
Meaning it's going to be there, and it's not up to me. I'm not in control of it. Oh, yes, I can show everybody where it is because I have a list of where I'm going to place. I have ads. I have social network, and Candy, who's listening, will go flying with it, as she does. And and then I leave it to her. Okay, here it is. Run with it. And then I let it go, and then I go back, and I'll see my cat, and I'll see the deer at night, and you have to find joys, too, I think, art in your life to offset things that might bother you, because then you're a lot healthier that way. You really are.
Yeah.
It'll destroy you.
Because it's a beautiful world. It's a beautiful world.
That's what I say to people.
That,
look out your window. It's a beautiful world. It really is.
Yep. And if you're consumed by your own negative thinking, if you're consumed by the news, if you're consumed by social media, if you're consumed by all this stuff that's outside of you, then you're really leaving yourself open to regret and disappointment and misery, because none of it will ultimately fulfill you. I mean, the only thing that will fulfill us is our own heart and our own connection with Source and our own, love for others and our own feeling of wholeness. And all this other stuff is a distraction.
And it makes you feel lousy.
Totally.
Candy's got a question. She said, Art, in your experience, how many times do you need to repeat something before it becomes a habit, or do you think that this varies per person? You know, is there such a thing as if I keep repeating this and doing this, it's going to be a habit?
Yes. Yeah, I think so. I think so. And I think it depends on the person. But let's say that I have a negative thought that I am fat. And when I was young, I was fat. I had celiac disease, and I was the chubbiest kid in the class, and it created a sort of, physical body dysphoria that I had. And now I don't weigh all that much more than I did in fifth grade, but I still have that negative inner voice that says, you know, you're fat.
Mm-hmm.
So, right. So that's a habitual thought that keeps being downloaded onto my hard drive time after time. Every time I get dressed, every time I look at myself in the mirror, I see one thing and I feel something quite different.
Yeah.
So how do I deal with that? You know,
that's lasted
a long time. I just got thin.
You're getting out of this too easy. What do you mean you got thin?
No, I am. Okay. You're right. Okay. So how did
of course I'm right.
I started eating right. I started exercising. You know, I started doing things that made me feel healthy. I dealt with the celiac. I realized that there were certain foods I couldn't eat. So, you know, I took control over my physical problem. But then what about the psychological problem? Okay, the psychological problem, the mental problem, is that somewhere buried inside of me, I still see myself as a child. My inner child is fat. And I just have to remind myself every time I hear that dialogue that, no, that's not true. You're not. So I just keep repeating it over and over and over again. And I'm using that example, but honestly, now in life, I don't think of that much anymore. But I did for a very long period of time.
You're older and you're smarter.
I'm older and,
and
I'm
wiser.
Smarter. And,
you know, don't waste your time on silly stuff. Yeah. Because
it doesn't matter anymore.
No.
And besides, I'm older too and I'm invisible. You know, so nobody pays much attention to me now. Anyway,
well, you know, I would if I were to have ever met you in person someplace, wherever, because you have that kind of personality. You are, you're not timid, you know, you're not shy. You like to converse, you like to talk. But you're right about that. As you get older, you are invisible. People don't pay attention to you. When there's others around. I see that all the time.
Right.
And I often wonder, why is that? I mean, hello, I'm here. You can talk to me. It's okay. I'm not going to.
Right. I was just writing something about that.
It can be very sad.
Yeah, and isolating. It's like, I think for older folks like me, the important thing is to be outgoing and to make your mark and to be seen so that you don't feel isolated and alone and, you know, get involved and do stuff and have fun.
And go outside.
You know,
it's a beautiful world. Just go. And
go outside. Exactly.
Yeah, you know, I use all of my animals that I have, and I have these two birds that are tearing apart my wreath on my door. I thought they were going to build a nest. It was a male and a female cardinal. Here they're taking all the branches and taking them over to a nest. But I have joy in that. Even though they're destroying it, it makes me smile. And my cat, Mushy, he looks at this like, Mom, look what they're doing to that. That's not good. You know, and I'll just smile because I think it's wonderful, you know. But when you're really young, I think everything is very dramatic. Everything, but when you get older, like I said, you get smarter, you get wiser.
And things slow down. It's funny, time speeds up, but things slow down.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how quite to explain that. Time seems like it's flying to me. But I've slowed down in the sense of taking time for myself, you know, meditating, praying, being contemplative, enjoying my life instead of working my life to the bone. And I'm lucky because, you know, I was able to transition careers and I have some stability in my life, but, you know, a lot of horrible things have happened in my life. I lost my son last year. And
I'm so sorry. I did not know that.
Thank you. And, you know, it tore me apart. As And we all go through these. We all have loss. And
yeah,
we're all
recovering.
We're all recovering all the time.
Right.
From, you know, the cold or the bad hair day or, you know, too many beers
but
the night before.
But put it in perspective. I always say to myself, you know, this is just something really small, really small. Can you imagine what's going on out there that, and we all have loss. We all handle it differently. Some people, you know, just like to talk to everybody and let them know about it. I'm not one of those. I don't do that. I know that that's why I let Candy do Facebook because I don't really like that platform. Too bad, Zuckerman, but I really don't. Because it is just like, well, I'm going shopping. I'll see you in an hour. It's just stupid stuff. People will do that. Because and Messenger, I have Messenger up all the time. That's Facebook Messenger. But it's just Messenger. And, it, you know, I'm always there for the people that work on my site or authors or whatever. I want them to know that I'm there. But yeah, you can just, you know, you can just get to be too much. But here's a question. What are your serenity tools?
My serenity tools are getting up in the morning and thanking whoever's in charge for another great day.
I do the same thing.
I used to wake up in the morning and go, oh God, it's another day. You know, what's going to happen today? You know, I'd wake up with a negative inner voice. My gremlin would be doing push-ups in the corner, and all I could think about was how was I going to make it through the day?
Yeah.
Now I wake up and I thank whoever's in charge for the opportunity to live another day and to try to enjoy it. And then I listen and read and journal and write when I first get up in the morning to sort of center myself and in my thinking and in the beauty of the day. And I meditate every day for 20 minutes or more. I do some praying, but I'm not a big get on your knees and pray guy.
No, you don't have to pray that way. All you got to do is talk.
No, I pray in other ways.
Trust me. Sometimes it's a dissertation for me. You don't want me talking to you, Art.
Right.
Sometimes I just get, I'll see something. I stopped watching TV news. You know, I was watching CNN all the time and getting angry, and you guys are so stupid. I mean, some of these things, and then I stopped. I just stopped because I'm not going to change any of that. I can't go call so-and-so and say, why do you talk like that? You know, it's so negative to everybody. I can't do that. So I finally got smart, and I don't do that. However, it doesn't mean that I can't talk to the divine, to God, and let him know how I feel. And I have people laughing. My son laughs at me, and he says, can you imagine? You get up, and God's looking down and saying, uh-oh, what's Natalie going to say to me today? And if I have any hair, I'm probably not going to have any more hair left because she's going to rip me big time. And it's rare that I do that. You know, it really is. Unless I find that there is something that it was totally unacceptable, it shouldn't have happened. And then I'll say, I want to know your reasoning for this whole dilemma. What is this? But, you know, and then I laugh, and of course I apologize, and then I give thanks for the day and calm down.
Right.
But I do that. I really do that. It's terrible.
Well, we're
inundated. Because we look forward to it. Huh?
Yeah. We're so inundated by the outside world now.
Yeah.
That when I think about the difference between today and when I was 5 or 6 years old back in the early 50s.
Oh, wasn't it wonderful?
Well, you just weren't assaulted by a million messages from a million different people about a million different things all the time.
You know, the computer world, the digital
world
is wonderful, but it opened up Pandora's box and it allowed people to show how many big mouths are out there. I mean, I just go delete, delete, delete. I don't I don't fall prey to that. And I think, you know, that's getting older, you get smarter. Let's hope that's what it is. I don't know. Is it?
Let's hope so. Sometimes I wonder, but we'll see.
Yeah, sometimes I wonder too.
Yeah, the
Tell
proof
me,
is
okay,
in the
can
pudding.
You explain what an observer self is?
An observer self is that part of me that is able to notice when I'm out of sync. The observer self can be manifested in many ways. It can be manifested mentally, physically, psychologically, spiritually.
Yep.
It's like the observer self, now it's like I'll be going along and then I'll feel something's wrong. I'll go, what's wrong? What's wrong? Oh, I had that interchange with somebody this morning, and I said something that I think might have been misinterpreted, and I feel badly about that, so I start to regret it. And then there's a whole chain, right, that follows from that. And then I go, you know, I'm going to check back with that person to make sure that that thing I said didn't land in the wrong way. So I call that person back, and I say, listen, I said this morning, and I just wanted to check and make sure that you understood what I was saying, that I didn't hurt your feelings. And they'll say, what? What are you talking about? And
yeah, they don't even remember what you said.
They don't even know, right? They don't even know. And then I'll go, oh, phew, you know, okay, thanks. I just wanted to check in and make sure. And they'll say,
but
well, thanks for checking.
You cleared yourself of any wrongdoing when you did that. And that's exactly what we do. Okay,
and then you go off
and you don't even remember it again, right?
Right, but you've cleared it up in that moment. You deal with it in the very moment it happens so that it doesn't drag you down, so that it doesn't become psychological baggage that you're then carrying along. And what I realized in my life is I was carrying trunk after trunk after trunk after trunk of all this baggage that needed to be cleaned up.
Yeah.
And once I cleaned it all up and, you know, left it at the train station, my life was free. And then when something happens in the future, my observer self now lets me know almost immediately, because I'll either feel sick to my stomach, or I'll feel a little dizzy, or I'll feel a little depressed, or I'll feel anxious. You know, there are all these different clues that I feel when I take a personal inventory, which is a physical inventory and a mental inventory and a spiritual inventory. And if something's not right, I identify it and deal with it in the moment, and then I'm not carrying it. So that most of my days now are worry-free, anxiety-free, guilt-free, regret-free. I'm just able to live in the pure moment and enjoy the moment.
Go ahead. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt you. Go ahead.
No. Yep. That actually, period.
Okay. See, I just knew. I know you so well.
Yes.
Do you think the loss of your son helped you to stay the way you are right now? Did it help you?
The loss of my son, that's an interesting question. I actually don't know the answer to it. I know that the loss of my son threatened to unhinge me. And being able to write this book, I was halfway through the book when he passed, and it saved me to be able to go back to the book and write about my thinking and how to manage my thinking. And shortly after he died, a friend of mine put me in touch with somebody, a very wise woman, in Hawaii, who has a lot of experience in this. And she worked with me for a couple of sessions, a couple of hours each, and just talked me through what I could expect. And I was able to talk about my feelings and my anger and my sadness and my grief and sort of understand it. And then I started going to a grief group, which started coincidentally a week after he passed. And I ended up running that group, and I was just active and proactive about my own recovery in the face of that grief. And it was all very helpful. And
well, I'm giving you a virtual hug and letting you know that you are loved. I don't know you. I've never met you. Maybe one day if I'm out in L.A., yeah. I'll look up.
I hope so.
Yes, well, the thing of it is that nobody knows what it's like unless you've been there. So they can give you all their words of wisdom and all that kind of stuff, but I am happy that you wrote this book. Now, your website is called Get Out of Your Head. It's a mess in there, .com. But you're everywhere, really, Art. I think you're probably on LinkedIn. I know you're on Facebook. I mean, I'm just looking and I see you everywhere. You have videos and you're just a fantastic human being. I'm going to tell you that right now. I have enjoyed so much. You see how fast it goes? Because sometimes,
wow.
You know, yeah. But, you know, my granddaughter will say to me, how do you do this? I said, I don't know. It's just that you have to have a starting point. You welcome
right.
them and all of that. And she said, but is that just sitting in your head? I said, yes. She said, don't you have notes? She wanted, don't you have notes? I said, no, I don't have notes. For what? It
right.
would be
we're
like
just
me.
Chatting.
Just we're chatting, but we're chatting
right.
about your work, how you got started and all that. She finds it really, she thinks it's amazing. And
wow.
I think it's so easy. It's so easy.
Yeah, but it's a great skill, Natalie, to put people at ease the way you do. I mean, it's a great skill, and it's been a joy, really.
Yes. I mean, you're going to look back and say, oh, yeah, that conversation with her guy, we were laughing, you know, it was so great. And
yeah.
she always thought, well,
fine.
Good, now I know I'm not the only one that's cuckoo in her
right.
head because I'm dealing with so much. So you have to sift through it and throw it aside, right?
Yeah, yeah. And can I plug my other website, which is my coaching
website?
Oh,
yes, website. And I think I have it here. As a matter of fact, it's called, wait a minute, which one is it? Give it to me.
LosAngelesCoaching.com.
There it is. See,
yeah.
I've got you pulled up
yeah.
on my third screen here, and I'm going to bring it up right now. And, because you're more than just your book.
Yeah,
you know,
you
are. I mean, you have had such a wonderful career. And I always found it interesting. I would think about it. How does one do some of these things? Now you told me you get your script at 4 a.m. by courier. How are you pronouncing it? Yeah, courier.
Yeah, right. Courier.
And then when you wake up, it's there at your door. Oh, geez, I got to do this one. And the life, and everybody thinks of it as, oh, it's so glamorous. It's not that glamorous.
Mm-hmm.
You know, especially if you have to go on location or your eating habits get thrown out of whack. Everything is, you're at the mercy of your job, what you're doing.
Yeah.
And that's what it is. You're locked
yep.
in. You are
locked in.
Now, have you ever had the thought that you would like to do something like with TV again, for example, because you said a transition into film was a little difficult, but what about TV?
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever been asked,
Art,
we need you on this. We need you to, you need to do this. Has that happened?
You know, I've asked myself that question 1,000 times, Natalie, and I go, why would I go back? I don't want to go backwards.
Yes.
I'm so excited about going forwards that, and I'm enjoying writing so much. I'm halfway through my second book and taking a writing course right now.
Yes,
and,
yes.
You know, it's like I'm just enjoying this phase of my life doing what I'm doing now. If somebody came to me and offered me a bunch of money to do something.
You'd think about it.
Yeah, I don't know. I would definitely think about it. because, you know, I'm as greedy as the next guy. I mean, I...
Well, but not only that, it's your area of expertise. You know, somebody said, Art, I need you to help with this because you've done this, this, and this. You've already gone through all the steps, and I can't find anybody who can delve into their past work and bring us to where we need to be fast enough. I mean, it's all about experience. You know, that would be like calling me, Natalie, I need you to do this. Well, I'm sorry, I can't. Like I said, I'd call Art.
Right.
But I think we all know what we're capable of, and I'm glad you're writing another book. Do you have the name of it yet?
It's called Don't You Dare Love Me.
Oh, well, when this one comes out, you're coming back on my show because that that's important. Don't You Dare Love Me. Oh, my mind could run with that title.
Yep, yep. It's quite a title. And I'd love to come back on and talk about it because it's dear
to my
heart.
Well, you know, I'll get a hold of Well, I got your email now. I'll just ask you. So tell John and who's the other one? Goodbye. She doesn't need you.
Yeah, John and Kate. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't go through
you. They're great.
Yeah, they are. I've gotten the nicest emails. I think it's probably John that I get them from, and he's just so nice.
Yeah.
But, you know, I get a lot of great emails. I know so many publicists I know that I've known for years, and, you know, some will send me, like, for my magazine, they'll send me, like, 8 articles or 8 excerpts and, like, wear me down to the bone, you know, and this one Gail, she'll say, have I sent you enough? Oh, Gail, come on, you sent me 8 of them. I'll say that to the screen, and I'll say, well, if you have another one, I'll take it. I never refuse. That's something about me that if I get stuff on the day of, like the 1st, because it goes up on the 1st, I never refuse it. I'll never say, oh, no, too late. Never. Now, if I turn it into a flip magazine, I'll still do it anyways because that's my dream. And I have my own tarot cards that I want to print out. So that's another dream. So I just keep concentrating on it because I know, too, Art, just like you, that if something has been given to you that attaches to your heart, it's one of your loves, it's going to happen for you. Just wait. Just wait a little longer. And that's what I'm doing.
Yeah.
So, and yes, as soon as I know, well, you've got my email, you let me know when that book is ready to go and you're going to be back on my show. Absolutely.
I appreciate it. Entirely my pleasure.
Yes, yeah, so you have a great day in L.A.
Yeah, thank you.
Los Angeles, the land of, I mean, is it all, you know, sometimes I wonder about that. I have a niece that lives out there. Oh, I have 2 nieces, actually, and 2 nephews. But sometimes I wonder about, is there like a certain area that cuckoos live that, you know, or the ones that are like you, that got their feet on the ground? I mean, you read all this stuff. I mean, is there like a dividing line? Well, I better not move over there because no. You know, is it like that? What's it like?
No, it's a wonderful town. And there are a lot of creative people out here and creative people tend to be a little cuckoo, you know, they're not,
you're right?
But,
that's what's wonderful
about it.
Yeah.
That's what's wonderful. You're a creative person. You're a little cuckoo.
I am, of course.
I admit
it. Candy's probably laughing over
cuckoo.
There listening. Yeah, she's not. No, she's just nuts. There was a shirt t-shirt, because I follow all the animals, rhinos and baby pigs and goats and everything all over the place on Instagram. That's what I spend watching all that stuff. And there was a shirt and it said, if Natalie can't fix it, we're really screwed. and that's the truth. Trust me, I'll fix it. You better keep writing because you're a world. You're just so much fun. You have a lovely wife, right? She's still with you, right?
She is.
Okay, well,
she is.
She probably gets tired of all of this kind of stuff. Get a grip.
She's actually my ex-wife, Natalie, but
we're
good
friends. Doesn't matter.
Yeah.
She knows all your quirks.
She knows it all. Yeah, yeah.
But you're
she's
a delight.
Been a witness to all of it.
this is midday for me, and it's morning for you, and you've just put the frosting on the cake for the day. And Candy says, thanks for all the years of great entertainment and writing your books. All the shows you directed were my favorites, because she does the copy for the show page. In other words, that's what shows. And so she knows. And then I sent her the websites and your picture and the cover of the book and all that kind of good stuff. And, oh, yes. Okay, so now, losangelescoaching.com. Go to that and get out of your head. It's a mess in there. Trust me, it really is if you think about it. But you have a great day, Art. And I'll see you again on my show. I know. I'm counting on it, and I'm hoping for it.
Thanks so much, Natalie. Have a great day.
Yeah, you too. Bye-bye. Okay, with that, Candy says, I dressed like Punky when I was a kid. She said, but the show did not come out till my teens. How is that? Isn't that something? Anyway. Okay, so, see? Well, she's younger than I am. She's younger than us, so... You know, she, you know, obviously, right? But anyways, okay, we're going to end the show like we always do to continue on with this joy song by Gabby Ray called Free to Love. And Candy brought that to my attention, and we have permission to use it. And I love her name, Gabby Ray. There are some names that I really, really am fond of. I don't know why. It's just another, it's a quirk that I have, right? But anyways, I want to remind everybody, go to starspsychics.com, stars with a Z, psychics.com. You can go to planetstars.com. That's my hub for everything that I have, and also mysticlivingtoday.com, and I'm already getting stuff to put into it. And it used to be I'd have to ask for it. I don't ask for nothing now. I mean, it's so great. And now they know they have to send me pictures and links, or I have to write them back, and it's just wonderful. I have a very blessed life, and look at the people I have on my show, like Art and Candy and Judy and Jackie and Amber. There's so many people that get me where I am, and you have to be really grateful. And remember, it's a beautiful world, and also believe in things you cannot see. They really are there. Here's Gabby Ray.
If everyone could be who they were really meant to be, without limitations, discrimination, this world could show all its colors. So get the chip off your shoulder. Hey.
Have a great week next this next week. Make sure it's good. Know that it's a beautiful world out there. And also remember to believe in things you cannot see. You are loved. Bye-bye.